Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, co-founder of Orangutan Republic Foundation, Dr. Gary Shapiro.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Mercedes with Bruce Gowdy. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, for those of you who follow us and me on Facebook, you probably know that I had the pleasure of going to see the band Garbage this weekend and having the experience of seeing them live and their whole show, and then the pleasure of meeting them afterwards backstage and actually spending some time with them, and actually had a couple quick interviews and interviews that I'm expecting we're going to get to have on the show really shortly. But in the meantime, I came across an interesting thing. I was asked by several people. It's like, Filippo, I wouldn't have figured you would gravitate to the music of Garbage. And I thought about why people might not think I would. And frankly, I knew some of their songs, but not most of them. And I was thinking, why is that? Because their music is pretty cool. And they've been around for a while. And I got to realize as I sat there and listened to an hour and a half of their music that that maybe all of their music was sad or depressed or angry. And I thought, yeah, that's probably why I don't listen to it that often or haven't really attracted it into my life, because I don't listen to a lot of sad, angry, depressive music. And that's what I was saying, and that's what I was thinking. And the irony of it is I thought about that all weekend, because something, this was Friday night that I heard the concert and met them, something didn't resonate about my saying that. And it wasn't until I was actually in the shower getting ready for the show, and I was singing. And I was singing as I sometimes do in the shower, and as I do in performances, I was singing it in Italian, and then I'd switch to operatic. And I realized that all the songs that I was singing were negative, were depressing. They were about people killing each other and how could you do this to me? But because I was born with it, I was born with this music. It was part of my DNA. And as a kid, I didn't know what it meant. I just heard it sung and on the record player, or my dad singing it, or people around us. And so I repeated it, and it's been a part of my life, all my life. And here I am, I'm singing this. It's how I express myself too. So in a sense, I didn't need Garbage. I had my own stuff. But in another sense, I thought, wait a minute, we speak the same language. It's just that we didn't understand each other's language, because they were speaking it, singing it in this style and in English, which I later learned how to speak. But and I was singing it and speaking it and taking it in Italian. But interestingly enough, we were going through a lot of the same things and expressing ourselves in similar ways, only we didn't know each other was doing this. And so I think it's really interesting that our show is titled today, Primal Communication, primal being foundational and the basis of things, and then also a play on words with primate communication because of our guest, Dr. Gary Shapiro, who's going to share with us how these primates and a particular family of primates in particular, how they experience similar things. We just didn't know because we weren't communicating in the same way. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation with our guest, Dr. Gary Shapiro, and a little bit later on, live music in the studio, as always, this time, Mercedes, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger. And Mark, you and I have spoken different languages and not understood each other at times.
We've spoken the same language and not understood each other at times. I think we all do this, right? I was thinking of so many songs that I grew up with, or going back to the nursery rhymes, which had negative, you know, this bridge is falling down, and,
oh, right,
you know, come over, red, what, or all those old nursery rhymes. There's so much,
right,
that we took in that we didn't understand had a negative, you know, inspiration or factual basis to it. And I think that's with a lot of our communication across all languages.
What's that one about something, when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall?
And down will come baby.
Baby.
Cradle and all.
What? That's, I mean,
can't
what?
Can't think of anything nicer to sing to a newborn.
It's like, happy to be here, Mom. Thanks a lot. Okay. So very interesting. Well, this is communication. I was thinking of a whole different kind, but evidently, maybe not so different. So our guest began his involvement with orangutans 43 years ago in the field of primate cognition and learning. He was the first person to teach a symbolic communication system to an orangutan, and the first person to have taught sign language to orangutans in the species, in natural environment, and in the forest of Indonesia. We can get more specific, and I hope we do, with our guest, Dr. Gary Shapiro. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you for having me tonight.
So, garbage and me.
Yeah.
we're the same.
I guess you are, you know. You're talking about how some of these songs are so negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting because when you look at primate vocalizations, frequently those are about things that are about hostility or how they feel that they're not happy, displeasure. They may be upset that you are near in their area. And so they'll do a number of vocalizations that indicate their displeasure of you being there.
Mm.
Kiss squeaks like that.
That's not a happy kiss?
That's not a happy kiss,
wow.
No. But there's a lot in the about two dozen vocalizations that are somewhat negative in that sense.
That's
that they have, and again, primates are, when they vocalize, it's emotive. So the emotions, which, you know, frequently are, could be about not being happy or being angry, displeasure, being sad. Orangutans will cry. The babies do, you know, vocalizations that are very similar to the way human babies do, except they have this kind of inhalation, this kind of when they inhale before they cry. So, yeah, it's sometimes about things that are negative.
Interesting. And for example, the kiss, someone who didn't know that might think, oh, they're blowing us kisses, but that's actually something like, get away from here.
Right. That's a kiss squeak. And they also do raspberries, like, and that's also displeasure.
Yeah.
So,
well, we do that too, though.
Yeah.
That we understand,
right,
I think.
Right.
Okay. So tell us, take us back to you were a young man in college, right? And how were you introduced to orangutans? By the way, I've known them as orangutans. So correct us on that.
Yeah. It's actually orangutan. Orangutan.
Okay.
I mean, there's the Indonesian pronunciation. The word literally means person of the forest. Orang is person. Utan comes from the word hutan, which is forest. So many of the people in Indonesia, especially the Dayak and the indigenous people where orangutans are found, see them as another type of person. They show them, in many cases, that kind of respect. Frequently, there are tribes that will not hunt them because of some kind of a connection they have in their origin stories. But sometimes they're also hunted by the Dayaks in certain tribes, because if they see them as other people, they actually do, they have historically taken the heads of other humans. And so they see them as, again, another type of person.
As a threat as well.
Not so much as a threat, but maybe as a replacement to human heads that they can no longer do according to the government. So this is rare. It's probably in very remote villages this goes on, because many of the people of Indonesia today know that orangutans are critically endangered and they need protection.
Right. So before we get to that very important point, let's start off. You went to college in Fresno, not expecting to be doing this. What were you expecting to be doing, by the way?
Well, I went to Fresno somewhat as a backup school. I wanted to be a marine biologist. That didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
But when I was going off for my master's degree, when I finished my degree in zoology, I was thinking about a project to do, and it turned out that the Fresno Zoo, now the Chaffee Zoo, Dr. Chaffee, who was the director, allowed the students from the university to do projects at the zoo. And I was able to work with an orangutan named Azak, who was a juvenile Sumatran orangutan. She lived in a very traditional cage, the kinds that we just don't like to see anymore. And every morning I would go in with a box of plastic children's letters, and we would sit on the floor of the cage.
Like letters, you mean ABC?
ABC.
Alphabet, okay.
Correct. And every letter meant a different word. And through conditional discrimination, Azak was able to learn how to read and write in a very primitive way. So she could actually associate like a red A as an apple or a blue N as a banana. And over a period of time, she could make sentences with the plastic letters to describe an object that I placed out there or to ask for a piece of fruit. And this became part of my master's thesis. I looked at the linguistic concepts that she was able to master over this two-year period.
You know, I'm just remembering something you said before the show, something about you wanted to be Dr. Doolittle, or you thought you were, you used to talk to frogs. What was it?
Or did... Well, I was probably 10 or something like that. And I would go off to a pond and, you know, do the ribbit, ribbit, you know, and they would call back to me. And I was really excited about this. These are frogs calling back to me.
And nice.
So you're communicating already.
Two-way communication with frogs. So, you know, I was able to kind of, you know, graduate to a higher level when I got to primates. And, you know, so I really enjoyed working with Azak. And this is where I first fell in love with orangutans, you know. And it was one of those things that came back years later. I had went off to Oklahoma to work with chimpanzees, teaching them sign language. And I got to meet Washoe, the very famous chimpanzee, the first great ape to learn sign language. And while I was working there and working with another chimpanzee named Allie, I got the call from my professor, who had spoken to a woman who had been out in the jungles for like 6 years at that time. And, you know, this woman said, look, we have this orangutan who we think is killing other orangutans. And do you have a student who might be able to go out and teach sign language to this orangutan to find out why he's doing this?
Oh, wow.
It was kind of a interesting question.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's like a murder mystery, right? You know? So, you know, I wasn't sure about whether I could actually teach this orangutan enough to confess to a murder.
So you knew who done it, you just didn't know why.
We don't know why, you know, except in a real sense, we kind of do know why. You know, these orangutans and other great apes are like humans. We are jealous. And it was, as it turned out, the woman who was raising these orangutans to return to the wild had adopted another youngster. And the orangutan named Sagito, this was the one I was supposed to work with, got jealous of little Doe. And and so Doe drowned mysteriously. And it was suspected that Sagito did it. So here I had this chance to solve this murder mystery, but I couldn't get anywhere near Sagito when I went out there. He stayed in a tree doing those you know, raspberries at me. He didn't want to come down. He, you know, and you need to actually get up to an orangutan and mold their hands into the configuration through a range of motions associated with an object.
In order to do sign language?
Yes. Mm. In order to teach them a sign, you have to have an object or a referent. Could be an action, too. You have to demonstrate the action and then show them how to do the sign. And then, you see, I couldn't get close to him.
I can't imagine. First, you have to get close to him. Then you have to teach him sign language and all. I can't imagine. I look forward to hearing more. And also the difference between chimpanzees and orangutans. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that when we come back in just a couple minutes here. We'll be talking more with Dr. Gary Shapiro. And then, as mentioned, Mercedes is with us here in the studio a little later with some live music, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Dr. Gary Shapiro, who was the co-founder and vice president of the Orangutan Foundation International for many years, a couple decades almost, and then went off and started the Orangutan Republic organization, and we'll give more information on that and spell it in just a moment. But we were talking about a particular orangutan, and then there's even one more special than that, that you actually, in a sense, adopted?
Well, she kind of adopted me. You know, when I couldn't work with Sagito, because he wanted nothing to do with me.
He just blew you kisses.
Yeah, he blew me kisses and raspberries, and he stayed in the tree. Mm-hmm. And these are very strong animals, by the way. He was an older orangutan, and in most studies, they work with little babies, little infants. I wasn't able to get an infant, but one of the orangutans in the holding cage leaped out into my arms when I opened up the door and was looking for a student, and her name was Princess. And Princess spent like about 19 months with me after that. As my daughter living with me in the house,
wow,
in the forest. So you can imagine this, you know, you're sleeping and all of a sudden you hear this big bang on the door. You wake up, and here's Princess holding on to me, sleeping. I wander to the door and here is this adult orangutan banging to try to get inside.
Adult male?
Adult female.
Oh, okay.
This was Sisuoyo. And Sisuoyo was the first orangutan at Camp Leakey, and that's where I did the work. Named after Louis Leakey. Sisuoyo had a baby named Sisui, and I was there the day Sisui was born. And Sisuoyo would come by looking for food because they knew that every house that was there at Camp Leakey had food and valuable things inside. And we locked the doors at night. So we actually put ourselves in the cages. And the orangutans were free ranging. They were free to come and go. And so I lived in this community of about 24 orangutans that were wandering here and there. And I got to know them and their personalities. And every one of them are unique and special. And it was really an amazing thing for me and something that transformed me into the person that became more of a conservationist than a scientist.
It's interesting that you say you lived in this community, because you were telling us before the show that orangutans aren't as community oriented as chimpanzees are,
for example.
Sure.
Yeah, the wild orangutans will live in the trees and the canopies, and they're generally, it's the female and a dependent offspring that is the largest social group that you're going to find.
Wow.
Because typically, they are off on their own looking for food. Now, they have the genetic predisposition to get together and to socialize.
Like Christmas and
yeah,
and,
yeah. Well, or if there's a lot of
Hanukkah,
figs.
Whatever.
Yeah, or if there's a lot of figs in the tree, they may come together okay. And they may feed
and share.
Sociably. They won't try to be hostile to each other. But they don't show the same kind of affiliation you'd see with a chimpanzee getting all excited, like, oh, you know, mom, there, you know, you're back. If a female daughter who sets up her home range right next to her mother wanders into the same tree, you would never know by watching them that they were related.
Wow.
Because they don't get together and start, you know, hugging each other or grooming each other, but they'll tolerate each other's presence in the tree.
Wow.
Now, you go to an ex-captive living at Camp Leakey, and this was the first time we did rehabilitation, really, at this level. And we would just take these orangutans in that were confiscated from the illegal pet trade, and we would feed them, and we would give them an opportunity to learn how to build a nest, how to climb trees, how to become orangutans that they should be, and then later on wander off into the forest. We gave them that option.
Wow.
And except if the males became very, very difficult. If a male started becoming too aggressive, attacked people, we would move them to another part of the park.
Now if they got aggressive, the males, that's a scary thing, because they're really big, right?
They're not just big, they're strong.
Very strong.
5 to 8 times stronger pound per pound than we are.
Wow.
And so if you get into the grip of a male orangutan, you better hope that this orangutan likes you. Because if he doesn't, you might be history.
Wow.
They have the ability. Although, frankly, it's not being seen very often. They're not as aggressive as chimpanzees are. They just don't want you to be between them and a female that they might be consorting with,
okay.
As you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, they're very curious. They want to know if you're a male or a female, and they'll figure that out. And we've had, you know, visitors coming to Camp Leakey who have been grabbed by male orangutans, and have been somewhat kind of shocked by what happened. But,
wow.
You know, typically when you go and visit orangutans, you should go with somebody who knows the area and who knows the animals and will tell you, well, stay away from this one over here. Mm. Over here, you can kind of watch from a distance. Don't get too close because, again, the health and safety issues are paramount today.
Wow.
Back then, I didn't really worry about that.
Well, you didn't know, I think, everything you know now.
We've learned a lot, and we do it differently today. We don't do that same kind of a model that we did in Camp Leakey. Today, we actually reintroduce them in a protocol where health and safety is of paramount importance.
Mm.
So, but Camp Leakey, you can still visit them, and you'll see orangutans wandering around. It's really an amazing place.
So you did, however, get to teach Princess
yes.
sign language, right?
I did,
and
yes.
What was that like?
Well, it was an amazing experience for me. I mean, first of all, we had lessons that we did that were more formal. We did lessons in the morning and the night when she had her dinner or her breakfast. And during those times, it was a perfect opportunity to associate foods, which of course orangutans love, and it's the most important thing to them, with the signs. And so very quickly, she started to learn signs and to create sentences with the signs. And I was able to document all of this. And over a period of 19 months, she learned nearly 40 different signs.
What would she say to you?
She would sign like, that food, that food, or open the food, open food. And again, focused on food. Sometimes I would ask her, you know, what's this? And I'd have things like, you know, here's a bag, and she'd sign bag, or what's this? And the sign for grass, or, you know, we would have a set of signs that I would teach her. In fact, my dissertation was factors influencing sign learning in juvenile orangutans. I had four students who I was teaching sign language, and one of them was Princess. She was the spoiled child because she was living with me, and then when she had to go to class to do her special studies, she was not interested. She went through them, and, you know, she learned, but she wasn't as excited as the ones that were kept in a cage, a holding cage, who got to come out. And that was big for them, to come out of the cage and to sit down and do something new.
Wow.
But for Princess, it was like work. It was like going to class. Like a lot of kids.
Like
she wanted
to
be on the playground, up in the trees. So, but she was really a special orangutan, and she still is in my heart. I haven't seen her in about 5 years. But she's now an adult. She's had five offspring.
Wow.
In a sense, I'm a great-grandfather through Princess.
Wait, five offsprings? Because you said they don't really mate every 8 years or so?
Well, 7 to 8 years.
Wow.
And sometimes, of course, a child will die.
Especially the first one.
They'll mate sooner.
Wow.
But the ex-captives, like Princess, who was formerly part of the pet trade. And this is an issue that we need to talk about, too, because
let's do that.
Orangutans that you see on the internet or on TV, these cute babies, these are horror stories. Each one of them saw his or her mother murdered, because these animals are sometimes going into people's orchards or going into, they're in a, say, a plantation, and they're treated as pests. And then the mother will be shot, and the baby will be taken, if it's still alive, into the pet trade. Now, it's completely illegal under Indonesian and Malaysian law to trade orangutans. They're protected under a number of laws, and yet at the same time, we see them still showing up in marketplaces or being confiscated in villages, and every one of those babies has trauma inside. They need to spend 7 to 8 years with their mother before the mother, you know, wants to have another child.
Right.
And during that time, they learn what they need to learn to survive.
Right. So they're not developed yet.
No, everything has to be learned and has to be learned through observation or as the mother demonstrates it. So, but they have to become, as I like to say, self-contained opportunistic problem solvers. That means they can live by themselves once they know everything.
Right.
And they have to learn where the food is, how to get to it, how to open it up. And as I mentioned to you before as well, they are walking on a thin line between adequate nutrition and starvation.
Well, also because their habitat is shrinking, but not through natural means.
That's right. Their habitat is being destroyed, sadly to say, to support large-scale agriculture. And we are the beneficiaries of that because of what we're consuming. Well,
beneficiaries with quotes.
With quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we buy a product that has, say, palm oil in it, and we don't know this palm oil was produced sustainably, we run the risk of supporting industries that are being destructive. And so what we want to do is ask those questions about the products that we buy, which is sometimes difficult for people to do. We want to just go shopping quickly, get the stuff and go.
Yeah, but education is important, and your organization is about education.
That's
why
you're
here. So Orangutan Republic, actually, Republic is with a K, and then Orangutan, O-R-A-N-G.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I'm spelling it for them, right? orangutanrepublic.org.
That's right.
Orangutanrepublic.org. And you'll find it on our website at lifechangershow.com. But you'll be able to connect with Dr. Shapiro through there and through their website, et cetera. What is the message of your organization?
Well, the message is we want people to open their eyes and open their hearts to realize that this species is critically endangered and that they can have a change. They can make a change in their own life to help this species survive. This is a magnificent creature. It's the gardener of the forest. We share 97% of our genes with this primate cousin. Wow. And yet they could go extinct in the future if we are not vigilant, if we don't take care of them. And it's my passion to do this. I can't expect everybody to feel the way I do. But I would hope people would realize that having an orangutan, which is like a keystone species, represents many other species that are out there. These are charismatic animals. If we take care of orangutans, we take care of all the other important species that are in the forest. Mm. And it's the biodiversity of rainforests that give resiliency to the forests that support us. These are the lungs of the earth. So in Southeast Asia and Borneo and Sumatra, the only two islands where they're found, orangutans are very, very important. And we want the Indonesian people to know this. We want them to appreciate them. That's why we do our work there. We give out scholarships to students. We've given out 130 in the 11 years we've been doing this.
Through the organization, exactly. OrangutanRepublic.org.
That's right. And we work with villagers at the perimeter of the national park in the Gunung Lusur National Park. It's one of the most important areas, the Lusur ecosystem, where tigers, elephants, rhinoceros, and orangutans are found together.
Wow.
So, yeah, we are very passionate, very concerned, and we want the people, of course, of the United States here in Southern California and people of Indonesia to really recognize the importance of the species.
Well, throughout the world, actually, this is part of the world that we live in. When we come back, I know you have an event coming up, and also you've promised us a particular call that orangutans do. So, Brent, get ready with this call. I imagine it's going to be loud. So when we come back, more with Dr. Gary Shapiro and live music in the studio with Mercedes, all after this on the Life Changers Show.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and we, of course, are talking to Dr. Gary Shapiro. Now, something that we haven't mentioned and we don't really have time to get into, but Dr. Shapiro has done quite a few things. He actually spent 20 years as a government scientist, first as a biologist with the Army Corps of Engineers, then as a planner with the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services, and then with the California EPA and in the Department of Toxic Substances Control, where he worked with hazardous substances. Or rather scientists in the hazardous substances field. So this is a man with a lot of knowledge and has been taking care of our planet in many ways and has focused his attention now on orangutans. And you have an event coming up to help support the organization and support scholarships. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have an event on October 7th in West Pasadena. It's going to be the Pongo Environmental Awards, the fourth annual Pongo Environmental Awards, where we acknowledge people and projects that have an environmental achievement. And we invite people, the public, to come out for this event. And certainly if you're listening to us live, you have a chance to do that right now.
And if you're listening to us in podcast form later on, they can still check the website and see when you're having it next year, right?
That's right.
So this year, next year, the year after, Orangutan Republic, O-R-A-N-G-U-T-A-N, which is Orangutan, and then Republic, REPUBLIK.org. Now, I had said, Brent, watch out for the mics here, but you're saying watch out over the break. You said watch out, you females. Why? Is this a male call or something?
Yeah, this is – I'm going to do my world famous long call. And people who have seen me do this or heard me do this realize that it's the signature call of the adult male orangutan.
So it's a mating call.
It's used to attract females, okay, if the female is perceptive. And it's used to keep other males away, to like demonstrate that I'm here, and if you're another male, stay away.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I am. Brent, we ready?
We're ready.
Okay, we're ready.
Give me a second here. I've got to channel the spirit of the male orangutan. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm happy. I'll stay away. I mean, happily.
You know, if I used that out in public, I think I'd get tossed out of where I was at. So I could...
Wow. And this is a serious thing. Your whole face, your whole body got
intense
into it. And it just, you wow. I love that on camera sometime. And in the meantime, a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for not only what you're doing, but sharing the information and educating us all on what we all really need to know about this subject.
Thank you, Filippo. I really appreciate being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Gary Shapiro. Again, Orangutan Republic. That's Republic with a K, .org. Wow. There's so much more I want to know. But as we go on, we'll be learning other things. Like, for example, we have an Ask Dorothy segment. And Mark, do we have any shout-outs?
We do have a shout-out. We would like to turn people on to this. It's kind of a sister community of ours. A couple of gals and guys give back. They're just doing such fantastic work and growing very, very quickly. In various cities across the U.S. through high-impact outreach, which includes hands-on assistance to those in need, inspiring volunteers through causes they're passionate about, developing training and empowering their leaders, and spreading awareness to their communities and beyond. Check out Coupla, that's C-O-U-P-L-A, guysandgals.com.
So many good causes. Thank you, Mark.
Dorothy, my name is Virginia and I am from Atlanta. My brother is asking me to bail him out again because he doesn't want his new wife to know he doesn't have any money. I have always been the kind of person who would help everyone, but this doesn't feel right to me. How do I say no without hurting our relationship? Since he is family, I have given him money in the past and never got it back. Also, he is always lying to everyone, and I feel that his new wife should know the truth. She seems like an amazing woman. What should I do or say in this situation?
Virginia, this is a great question, and I'm glad you've reached out to me with it. I believe it is time for you to learn to say no to your brother. Since he has not honored his previous agreements to repay you, you would not be honoring yourself to continue to throw money at a situation that probably will never change. If you choose to say no to his request, he may be forced to tell the truth to this woman and face the consequences of his actions. On the other hand, if you do say yes to him, you could be helping him perpetuate the dishonesty that appears to be occurring between him and his wife. You are not responsible for your brother's inability to speak truth, and it is not your job to blow the whistle and tell the wife that he is always lying. Each of us has written our own stories, and obviously she has chosen your brother for the gifts and lessons she needs to experience in order to grow. Therefore, unless she asks you personally for your advice, it is in your highest and best good to stay quiet as to your personal opinion of him. And please know that this situation is not really about him at all. This is about you, and you're being unable to say no because he is family. Often saying no to those we love is the very best thing we can do to assist them in finding better ways of doing things. I trust you will find the strength to do what is in your highest and best good and his.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Thank you, Dorothy. And we are going to have live music here with Mercedes and Bruce Gowdy's in the studio with us as well, going to be playing on guitar, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guest, Dr. Gary Shapiro. And joining us in the studio is singer-songwriter Mercedes and guitarist and songwriter Bruce Gowdy. Now, Mercedes is a world-renowned singer-songwriter who was born to rock and bring listeners' worlds together with her sultry voice and universal lyrics and personal experiences that melt the heart. What a pleasure to have you both. Thank you and welcome, Mercedes and Bruce Gowdy.
Well, thank you, Filippo, for having us.
It's such a pleasure. Now, Mercedes, your music is worldly. You're known throughout the world, but you're also a worldly person. You've lived in different countries.
Yes, I come from a really rich background of 5 different languages. I call myself a cultural mutt, and there's no place in the world that I don't feel at home.
Nice. You know, interesting, mutt is used as a little bit derogatory to but in this case, it's actually a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's also a guy named Mutt that makes a hell of music too. So, so yes, I consider the word a mutt in that I think that I love this whole DNA movement that everybody can take a little swab and understand that there's really not just one kind of human being. There's only one kind.
Mm. Well, I actually, right. And we're also part orangutan.
97%.
97%.
I was like going, I understand my attraction to King Kong now. I mean, since you can't find a decent guy in LA, come on, King Kong.
Nice, nice. Now, you've worked with some amazing people. One of them is here with us, and one of them is no longer with us, sadly, and so many others. What have you gathered from all of this expertise coming together?
I have to say expertise would not be the word. I've been just blessed. I was given this voice that's bigger than my height, obviously, and it's attracted some of the most amazing people in the world, from Bruce Gowdy to the best guys in hip-hop. I mean, the diversity of people that have followed, it's a rainbow coalition, and I was blessed to have one of the most fabulous men in the world, Michael Shipley, fall in love with me when I was young. I had no idea who he was, but to the world, he was a legend. And he used to say I was his favorite voice. Now, I think he was trying to date me, but he got me anyway, so I'm blessed to have those experiences. Unfortunately, I don't know how to play many instruments, though in my mind I do. So the universe has brought on these amazing players.
Yeah, one in particular who's with us, who plays like every instrument in the world. You call him your one-man band.
I actually call him my personal prince. Like, I mean, I'm not talking prince. I'm talking like Purple Rain prince. He can play.
Bruce, aren't you glad you're here today?
Yeah, I like that.
I do. I'm not just saying that because he's one of my best friends, but truly, like, someone that can play every instrument, every sound, mix, and produce an entire song. Sometimes I feel like I show up for an hour, I do my vocal, and he's like, get the F out of here. You know, it's like he really doesn't need me. It's just
and help write the song.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
Bruce, when I asked her who played on your last album, on your one coming up, she said, Bruce. And I said, well, you know, the guitar? And she's like, no, all the instruments. Well, what are all the instruments? What are we?
Well, basically keyboards, acoustic, electric, bass.
Bass, wow. Drums?
And orchestration part, maybe.
Nice. Okay. And you also, you write your own music and you write music with Mercedes. And is this something that you just have always done?
Yeah, always done. I've been lucky enough. I've had 4 major record deals.
Interscope, Polygram.
I've worked with some 4 legend producers, so I learned a great deal from these people I worked with. So it's been a pleasure.
Well, you started a couple big known bands too, or were in them.
I don't know if they ever became really big, but they're
in some
big
parts of the
underground
world bands.
Yeah. Well, being signed to Interscope, you're always so humble. I'm going to have to step in here.
Step in there, Mercedes.
I have to say, if I was signed to Interscope, I'd have an ego the size of China.
Okay. Well, actually, this next song was written by the two of you, and it was produced by the late Michael Shipley. Actually, people might not know him. You go just...
Michael Shipley, besides being the love of my life, produced Aerosmith. I'm sorry, mixed Aerosmith, Shania Twain, Faith Hill, Joni Mitchell, Queen. He is the history of rock and roll. You can look it
up.
You can also
Def Leppard.
Oh gosh, Def Leppard,
yeah.
And I can't even begin to start the list. If you want to see it, I do have an ode to him at MercedesMusic.com. You can just Google it. He is the tapestry of sound for generations that have passed and to come.
Well, speaking of ode to him, you are dedicating this song, which was produced by him and written by you and Bruce Gowdy, to him during your live performance. And the song is?
It's called You Make Me Shine. And
beautiful.
It was absolutely about him. He used to say that, you make me shine, love. Well, he gave me the title, so let's go.
Well, here is Mercedes accompanied by Bruce Gowdy, the two of whom have written this song, You Make Me Shine, produced and dedicated to Michael Shipley, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
You're the most beautiful thing ever happened to me. Side by side, we're a true perfection. You show the best side of me. You make me shine. You say you're all mine. And in the moment of fear, you're always there by my side. You make me shine. You say you're all mine. And in the moment of fear, you're always there by my side. In your arms, I wanna sing. You make it all right. Side by side, we're true perfection. And you love me right. You make me shine. You say you're all mine. And in the moment of fear, you're always there by my side. You make me shine. You say you're all mine. And in the moment of fear, you're always there by my side. And why can't I just accept this? Is this real? Is this bliss? Oh, love, just let me feel. Is this love? Is this bliss? Is this real? Oh, love, just let me feel. Most beautiful thing that ever happened to me.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mercedes, and thank you, Bruce Gowdy. You make me shine. Now that's available, of course, at Mercedes Music. That's MercedesMusic.com. And it's also available on CD Baby. And if you want to learn more about Mercedes, Mercedes Music is the place to go. And if you want to learn more about Bruce Gowdy, Mercedes Music is the place you want to be as well. Although he is on Facebook and you can find him elsewhere. Is that right? Is that right, Gary? Okay. Now, just real quickly before we get to hear another song, tell us. So I said to you, I like your necklace. And then you said, oh, this is my.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a design junkie. It's actually a big microphone, and everything that I design is available at judamour.com, which is JUSDAMOUR.com. And what you're describing is a big hip-hop microphone I have around my neck. And this was inspired by, you know, everybody wants to be a singer. And if you would only know how many people grab at this microphone and just go, da, da, da. So I just, you know, my nature is to bring joy, you know. With
because you're holding it you're holding it next to your chest. They really grab your microphone?
All the time. They just do. It's actually a little below my chest. Okay. If they get too close to the chest, I am a boxer. So I'm good. I'm good.
Well, actually, jus d'amour is actually, is that like a juice of love in French?
It's the juice of love. And I have to give a shout out to the great Roy Jones Jr. for always being my sponsor for 15 years, the best boxer on the planet. And his perfume is also on my website. It's called Legend, which I created for him. And it was inspired by the scent of victory. So there's some really good stuff on there. It's very artisan. We're very interactive. And we love everybody that believes in it.
People are going to see the picture that we're going to take afterwards. That tunic or whatever it is that you're wearing, is that on your website too?
That's actually in my closet. What can I say? I have this crazy thing about having to just, you know, design my own stuff.
Okay, well, if you can design like that, by all means. What are we going to get to hear next?
Well, it's called Raining Around the World. It's one of the first, I think we wrote this a while ago, and I thought it was perfectly appropriate for what's going on in the world at the moment. We also were very lucky into, we performed at the 9/11 benefit, which I think this was one of the songs too, and we did Praying for Peace. But with all the hurricanes and all the hate going around, I figured why not do something that'll wake you guys up and please share the love, erase the hate.
Did you literally say raining around the world?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing that. So here's Mercedes, accompanied by Bruce Gowdy, a song they both wrote, Raining Around the World, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
It's finally time for a little cleansing, right to the bottom of my being. Everything that used to matter seems like a shallow stream where I'm bathing in resistance. Watch old habits say goodbye. Oh, the clouds are growing stronger. Evolution from the sky, and it's raining around the world. Say goodbye to yesterday. Beautiful rainy day. When it's wet, the earth is softer, pulling children from within, pulling angels to the surface as they forgive the primal sin. For the apple, so much sweeter than the snake would ever know. With the rushing of the liquid blue that drowns the ground below, and it's raining. Today the dream is here now. There's no stopping the rain and around the world. Come outside with me and play in a beautiful rainy day. And if you want to play, let me hear you say, there's no worry, pain, frustration, condemnation, or any reason to believe in age. No, when the angels say, come outside, take a risk and wash your soul in another rainy day. Yeah, if you want to play, let me hear you say, or any reason to believe in age. No, when the angels say, come outside, take a risk and wash your soul in another rainy day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice. I love watching the interaction that you two. So the Mercedes and Bruce Gowdy. Thank you so much. How fun is that? Go to mercedesmusic.com, mercedesmusic.com. By the way, I asked Mercedes if that was her original name. And
yes, it is. Believe it or not. I used to tell kids in school that my parents had a little love in the back seat, and that's why my name was Mercedes, but that's not the truth.
Nice. Well, there'd be kids named Pontiac and Chevrolet out there.
I think there's a lady named Porsche. Pinto. I can't tell you how uplifting this has been for me. I've been kind of a bit recluse, and it's nice to get back out and do what is the most important thing in the world, is bring joy. I hope you out there enjoy this tonight. Thanks all of you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you. Mercedes and Bruce Gowdy, what a pleasure. And once again, thank you to our guest, Dr. Gary Shapiro. Well, with that, yes?
Can we thank Brent? And thank you, Brent Hahn.
Usually that comes right now, so perfect timing. Our technical producer, thank you, Brent. And
thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
I just have to mention your son, Mark Jet Paul Leger, with his little red nose today, making us all smile, always, with or without a nose. And thank you to BBS Radio Network and Doug Newsom, our program manager at the network. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Leger, our producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.